Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is already Friday. I can't believe it, probably because I wasn't here Monday, and it feels like the week just went by too fast, and it actually did. Faster than the normal week. But I hope everybody is in a great place and you're going to have a great weekend coming up and a safe weekend. And it's been just quite a fast summer. And kids are already back in school in our area. And if not, they're going to be back by next week. And just so many questions from everybody. And the energy is just moving around. And big things are happening in people's lives. And sometimes really hard things are happening. But we're taking them differently. We're seeing a bigger picture, and seeing the bigger picture helps us cope with the little things. It's like a guide or a compass. And today, which is what I love about Fridays and getting questions, is we can start to bring that on. So I got to get started. We have so many questions today. And I'm going to start with one from Eliana. And she says, "Dear Nadia, I'm hoping you could answer a question. It's an event that actually happened to me when I was a child. There's a backstory to this event, but please know that I'm not looking for sympathy or pats on the back. I'm only looking for possible answer from Christ." Okay, so here's the question. "This must have happened when I was 5 or 6 years old because my twin brothers had to walk me to and from school. My identical twin brothers were 3 years older than me, so we only attended the same schools briefly. Also, since I'm the last sibling, number 13, I was born an aunt, so my nephew, Tiny, attended the same school with us as well. One day when we were all walking through the park to head to school, my brothers said, 'Let's skip school and stay in the park.' I don't know what that meant, but I admired my brothers and wanted to be with them and my nephew at the same time. I knew this was out of place. Since it was a school day, the park was desolate. We walked and played throughout the park until we became very hungry and it was time to head home. When we were on our way to exit the empty park, a man directly behind us called us. We all turned to him. The man was wearing a white robe, sandals, surrounded by tons of pigeons. The pigeons were very excited and were taking turns sitting on his shoulders and hovering around him. Somehow breadcrumbs were everywhere and circled him on the ground. The birds were loving it. By the way, we just walked over this area and no breadcrumbs were there. The man began to speak softly to my brothers, but I couldn't hear what was said. My nephew said it was his turn to speak and ask the man for money. The man pointed to a dime in front of my nephew's foot and picked it up and handed it to my nephew. The man then turned to me, locked into my eyes, and asked, 'Why are you here?' I don't know how to respond, so I stayed quiet. We took a few steps away from the man, turned to him, and he was gone. The pigeons were gone, and so were all the breadcrumbs. Throughout my life, I remembered this event at times with my brothers with no reason as to why it happened. I never thought to ask you, Nadia, until now. I loved my twin brothers dearly. My brother John died at 24, Jimmy at 36, and my nephew tragically died in a prison in California. I know that I'm not special because I'm alive. As much love as I have for them, it still exists, but for me, the emptiness of their physical presence on earth could never be replaced. They were truly unique, creative, loving souls, and thank you, God, for sharing them with me. I once questioned in my mind, when I die, would Jimmy or John wait for me? I quickly heard John's voice in my mind, 'Mama will wait for you.' The question is, I know similar events like this has happened to people throughout the world, but why? I search for that answer, and the closest I come is finding you, Nadia. I don't know if this man was Christ or another angel, but that's not my question. Could you please ask Christ why there are these random visitations throughout the world, and if telling others about the visitations is important. Thank you, Nadia, and much love your way, Eliana. Well, first, there's a few things in the backstory. That presence, and it was an angel, and it wasn't Christ. It wasn't Christ at that time, but it was an angel, a very evolved angel. And I even know which angel it was because they just told me in my head, and it was Michael. And that was a protection for you guys that day, because whatever was going on there, the boys, you know, stayed out of school and they were doing something that could have hurt all of you in that time without knowing. And you guys were protected, and once you were leaving and going home, you no longer needed the protection. So I just wanted to put that down to tell you that these things happen around our world very frequently. God is not far away. It is very important to tell each other, because even if you think people don't believe you, at some point in the people's lives that you tell, they will need to hear that. They will need to remember that miracles can happen, because what's a miracle to us is business as usual to God. We're just not used to help. We're not used to people helping us. We're not used to God helping us. We pray, but we're not sure if we're going to be helped. And sometimes we don't pray and things are happening to us. There isn't a better person to God or not. There isn't someone who prays so much that they get everything they want. Those kinds of things, none of that matters with God. But once in a while, we need protection. And you guys were protected in that park the whole time. But for you to know that this happened because the other three people that were involved with you are all gone. So their states of mind, even though they would take care of you, even though they decided to not go to school, but their minds had the workings of maybe putting themselves at risk and putting you at risk. Now, the bigger question is, how come some people are at risk and something does happen to them? Does that mean they're worse or they weren't protected or loved by God? No. Everybody comes here for something different. Every single person. Every single person who comes here comes through another soul and literally returns back to God. Not because God owns us, but because God loves us. And God created this plan, this school of evolution that we are in. And we come here to learn, and we're learning from the day we're born. And when we're born, everyone thinks we don't know anything. That we have to be taught everything, but we do have to be taught everything to be here. But at first, a young baby is very aware of their surroundings, and they look you in the eye, and they have that smell of home still in them. It doesn't just go away. It phases out. It transforms. It transitions to being here. That's why all babies smell the same. That's why everyone can love a baby, no matter whose baby it is. You look at a baby and you remember the bigness of life. You remember when you were a baby, but not when you were too young. You can't, because just like home, we are veiled from that. But these kind of random visitations, they happen all the time. We're not here without clues. We're here with clues, but there's certain things that we are just not meant to know here, because then we wouldn't be able to do what is here. But the love that exists between you, that exists between your family, that exists between your twin brothers and your nephew, will never go. But that day was cemented. You will never forget them. And when you think about forward thinking, which is absolutely crazy, how cool it is. That has cemented your relationship with them forever. Because no matter what happened in life since then, you have a reason. You have a connection. Otherwise, you may not have even remembered that day. You may have gone to the park and just thought, oh, we went to the park today. We just didn't go to school. Yeah, this feels weird. Nobody's around. But you might have just faintly remembered it on and off throughout life. But now you can never forget it because it was marked by an event of literal protection. It's not that safe for kids to be out in the street. And now it's even more not safe. But back then, you know, in events like that, you end up meeting usually some kind of danger. But that did not happen. The worst thing that happened is you guys were hungry. But what happened was all of you never forgot that. And now your brothers and your nephew are whole and you are fine and you will see everybody when you go back. It's interesting when people leave now. I always think, I'll see you when we come back. It's not goodbye forever. It's goodbye for now. And it is hard to miss people. But at the same time, everyone comes here to do something, and we will see that so clearly. Like, wow, you only had to go for so many years. Wow, you had to go for 80, you know. And it's amazing because the way you look at it there is different than here because there isn't that element of time. Just depends on what you came to do. So I hope that answered your question, but yes, it is important to tell people, just like you're telling us today. And sometimes we see the protection, we see the love, we see the happening, and other times we don't, but we feel it. We feel like there is something special. We feel like there is something different. I always feel Christ before I could see him. And boy, he's very active right now, very active. Almost to the point where yesterday while I was working at my desk, I literally had to get up and go for a walk because I couldn't handle the energy. It was that strong. It was like 11 o'clock and I go, I think I got enough done. I have my friend Lisa that's blind. I take her shopping every once in a while. You know, hopefully we try to do it once a month and, you know, get good food for her family and really take the time to make sure that they're taken care of. And I wasn't supposed to be there till 1 and the feeling was so strong. At 11 I thought, oh my God, I have to leave at 1 anyway. I can end now. I got enough done for today because my rest of my day was going to be physical outside. And I said, I have to go to a park and walk. And on my way to her, I went and walked for an hour and a half just to be able to handle the energy and take a deep breath and listen. I was listening to books on the audiobook thing, just listening and walking and walking and walking. And then for a while I just talked to God and then I left. I was good to go for the rest of the afternoon. But it was just, I don't almost know what to do with myself, but I just keep going. And I hope that answers your question, that these events happen to us. They're happening to us more. They're reaching more of us because there are more people on earth and we're more aware. And we realize, whether we know it or not on the outside, that deep inside, we are now fighting for the basic rights of survival. We are now fighting for the basic rights of survival. We're fighting for sleep. We're fighting for nutritioned food. We don't realize this, but our bodies are forcing us to either take the plunge and find a way to survive or to continue hurting it. We aren't sleeping enough, which is hurting us because we're not going home enough, which means we don't have enough gas in our tanks to do the days. So we get frustrated. We get anxiety. Our bodies are reacting in illness from both of those two things. It's amazing. But we're doing it without even knowing we're doing it. A lot of people are waking up and verbalizing it, and other people are kind of fighting it, and other people are saying, I don't want to change, I can't change. But all of that is happening right now as we are sitting here and will continue to happen until we find a way to take care of ourselves. It's not the big things. It's not the promotion at work and all of that. It's we're looking to survive. Even enough for women to fight for being able to raise their own children. Because what's happened is everyone got so busy that women don't have a chance, families do not have a chance to raise their own children, so we're giving them to other people to raise who are not invested in them. And that's felt. All of this is felt. We're eating food from people whose best interests aren't to make us good food. They're just making us food for profit. And that's not a bad thing. They have a right to do that, but we have to pay attention to what we're doing because everyone's interests are not in the same place. And we're so busy. Why do we work for 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours out of a day when we need to sleep the other eight? It doesn't make sense, but we're doing it and we've been chasing our tails and now we're all paying the price in illness, in disease. We're not at ease anymore, which is what is disease. We're no longer at ease. So there's a lot going on right now, and we are fighting for our survival. It's an amazing time in history for all of us to be here. I have a couple more questions. I have a question from Eric Hillis, and he says, is there any special significance to the eclipse on Monday? There have been a lot of eclipses. I don't know if they're different eclipses or you could be seeing them, but I saw one. I stayed up to the middle of the night and I saw one. And there's something that, you know, obviously our world runs a certain way and there are certain phenomenons that happen from time to time. But what these things do in the picture towards the human being is that we take notice. We start from the beginning of time saying, oh, this happened. Oh, this was interesting. This happened. And somebody will know somewhere that this is happening. And we start growing in knowledge. But really, it reminds us on a daily basis, especially when we're working our way up to an eclipse or working our way up to any other natural phenomenon that happens without us, you know, we're learning from it. It's not we can't create it. We can't make it happen. It's going to happen. And when something like this happens, it reminds us internally that there is a bigger world out there. There's people who argue about God and people who argue about religion and people who argue about food and people who argue about all these things. But when we watch something like this, all of that goes away. We unify over the natural things that happen in our world. The sun setting is the same reason and feeling as an eclipse. We connect to home in these times. Did you ever notice in natural disasters when we have hurricanes, when we have earthquakes, when we have tornadoes, when we have any of these? We are so amazed. Because that's when we see the hand of God. That's when we see the bigger picture of the bigger life, of this not being the end all. We have been taught to get what we can while we're here. But when we see things like this, all that just disappears in a puff of smoke. Because we can't build a kingdom we can keep here. That just isn't going to happen. We all have to go back. No matter how big of a world we create, there comes a day where we have to go back. We can't own anything here. But our knowledge and our evolution, that's the only thing that comes with us, and it's the only thing that goes with us. Each and every one of us. So the significance of any eclipse, whether it's this Monday or one coming up or ones in the past, and it's actually pretty cool to see. I remember taking so many pictures, and I don't even know where those pictures are, which cell phone they were in at this point. But I never forgot it. Because you just sit there and you watch God's hand, the magnificence of synchronicities, of circumstances, of creations, all of that comes into play. It's amazing for us. And we all want to take part in it, and it gives us a reason to unify, and it gives us a reason to talk to each other, and it gives us something to be mystified by. Just like Eliana saying, should we, you know, we tell other people about these stories? And I'm like, are you kidding? Those are the stories we need to hear. Because it happens. And if it happens, it's just as valid as anything else that happens. When people say be realistic, they just shut down 90% of what they could know. Because what does being realistic mean? That you just put up, shut up, and go on. And don't make any noise. We need to make that kind of noise. Because that kind of noise alone is what drives our noise that lives in our heads. And the eclipse, and when there's hurricane swirling, and when there's, you know, different things happening, the sun coming up every day, when you really think about it, the amazement you feel just blows your mind. We just don't think about those things very much. You go out, people who haven't gone out for walks in nature for a long time, and then they go out for a walk in nature, they can't believe what they've missed. They don't know how they've missed it because they didn't really see it for a long time and they didn't care then. But once they saw it, they feel like they have to go back to it pretty regularly, even if it's just to go sit in a park. Because that is the real us, is the miracles of us. So I hope that answered your question, Eric. I have another question from Sarah, and I want to say Ibanez. I hope I said that right, Ibanez. My grandmother got Alzheimer's 14 years ago. She is a super strong woman since then, but also all the life we have been so close. After 14 years, you might imagine she is here physically, but she is gone. The grandma I knew, but she still sometimes makes me a sign. That could be a laugh, could be a gesture when I speak to her, that makes me realize that she is still there, her essence, but not 100%. My question is, where are they in this transitional stadium? That's an amazing question, because I also am very close to somebody whose mother has Alzheimer's, and men treat it differently. He was angry, is angry at her for leaving him and still being here, so much so that he doesn't go to visit her. And he justified it by telling me that she doesn't know who he is anymore. So I said, are you sure about that? That she doesn't know who you are? He said, yes. She doesn't remember the kid. She doesn't remember anything. I said, oh, really? Yeah. I said, can we go see her together? I would love to see her. So we went. We go to this. It's a great facility. Put her in so he doesn't feel any guilt about it. But he never goes. Never goes. She was in a room where they were feeding them, and she was in a wheelchair, and they're taking her out. And she saw him. She knew exactly who he was. She immediately said, I love you. Just like that. I love you. I can say it exactly how she said it. Her face lit up. She knew exactly who he was. When we got back in the car to leave, I said to him, your mother knows who you are. Yes, she was speaking Greek, and yes, she was speaking English, and yes, she was mixing the two. But I held her hands. She kept rubbing my hands and talking as though she picked up from the last time she saw him where she left off. He kept trying to prove to me that she didn't know. So he wanted to show her pictures of the kids. And, you know, he was like pushing her limits instead of accepting who she is. And it was her birthday on August 8th, and I wanted to go and see her, and I couldn't, and I can't remember where I had to be. It was right before we left to Yosemite, and I couldn't go to that area because it's far away from me. But I'm still going to go back and see her this month, and I'm going to make him go. Because what's amazing is, and I know this is going to sound weird, but somebody who's here with Alzheimer's gets to kind of be here for free. People take care of them, and they let go of all the stuff they carry throughout life before they go home. They reconcile here. I know why Alzheimer's happens to people, and they're connecting it to many different avenues that people start still physically being here, but their mind being gone. But their minds are intact. And every once in a while, they get a deep glimpse, a deep sense of why they're here. But they get to release everything while they're still here. It's different than somebody who goes home and goes through their life, their whole thing right away. They kind of go through that gradually here, and then they don't need any of that information anymore. But they are intact. They feel the love. They're very happy about it. They have, in a way, transitioned but are still here. And they become the babies that first come and we think they don't know very much. We do the same thing with Alzheimer's. But the Alzheimer's person, and this is a very interesting phenomenon that happens with people who have Alzheimer's, is that when they are in a facility, I was in Chicago, and there was like four or five floors to this. It was like a nursing home for people who are older, but a medical facility, you know, for people who also needed medical care or kinds of medication on a regular basis, which I guess now is, it's not a retirement home, it's a nursing home. So what happened is the top floor, you couldn't get to without a code, and you couldn't get off the floor onto the elevator also without a code. And the stairwell door is locked with also a code. So I asked, but why is there a code on the top floor? And they go, oh, those are the Alzheimer's people. And I go, well, why do you have to trap them on the floor? And they said, because they're always packing their bags and they're going outside and waiting for a car that's not coming. They think they're going somewhere. And I didn't understand it at the time. And I thought, God, that's so weird. Where do they all think they're going? And why do they all do it? Why isn't it just something that one does it here and one does it there? But they all want to leave because they're going somewhere. They think that someone's picking them up to take them home. And one of the most beautiful things in the world was said to me about that. That they are at home still here. I have a grandmother who was very, very, like, I don't want to say mean to us, but she didn't want my parents to get married when they got married, and that stuck with her until she had Alzheimer's. And until she had Alzheimer's, we never felt loved by her. But when she did, she'd forgotten that she even had all that with her. And she would see us and be happy and hug us and kiss us and enjoy us. Really interesting. So don't just assume that they're not there completely, because they are, but they have that purity and they hold nothing. It all leaves within that time. They say the average time for an Alzheimer's person is 7 to 8 years after diagnosis before they leave, depending on their physical health. But they are transitioning, and actually this is a gift, even though it looks scary on the outside. Alzheimer's is a very interesting issue of our time. And if we study it further and we look at the brain, we may find out a lot more. You guys, it's already over. I can't believe it. We have to go. Have a great weekend. I will see you Monday morning. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.